The book of Hosea. Hosea chapter 10 and verse 12. Before I get rolling, we're rolling. Well, we are rolling, but let me just say, I just enjoyed that communion and watching everyone receive and the blessing. And I was watching Jesse with his girls and just really enjoying. And when those girls all took the communion, man, they were slurping. They were just getting every drop. They upended that cup, and I heard the slurp as I thought, man, they're not leaving anything behind. They're taking, and I just thought to myself, that's what we need to do with the Lord. Slurping, just, and really bless me. Praise the Lord. Have you found the book of Hosea, chapter 10 and verse 12? You know that you can always get the outline of these messages from me as well. I can text or email them to you. Just get that verse and hold it. I want to share something with you. Last week, we shared two words from the Lord that came, one in the form of a word that God gave John Wilkes, and another one that came in the form of a dream that one of our members up in Connecticut, Jackie Onofrio, we call her Jackie O, received from the Lord in a dream, both within about 24 hours of each other. These two saints received these words from the Lord. And John's word, the Lord spoke to him and said, in a year, you're going to run two services on Sunday morning. God said, I want this church to be running two services within a year. I just thought, wow, praise God, let's take hold of that. And then the day before, the Lord had given Jackie O a dream that she shared with me, and it's brief, so I'll read it to you again. Hi, Pastor Nick. I just wanted to tell you about a dream I had of you. I was at your house with some of my children. You were so welcoming, you and your family also, and you... We had to spend the night at your house. You and Kathy walked us through your house. You had rooms and rooms filled with beds ready for guests. Beautiful blankets were on them. Then there were beds that were folded up waiting for people who needed to spend the night. Other people were behind me and my children, and they were waiting their turn to see where they too could sleep. There was worship music and happiness throughout the house. What a dream. All I know is that I woke up with a smile. Hope you had a peace-filled night. And then there was another section. She said, I've been thinking about that dream for days now. It struck me that there were so many people waiting a turn to see where they would be put up for the night. The house was very busy. And I was taken by the many, many rooms you and Kathy had with beds ready for guests and other rooms with beds that were folded up ready to be put to use. The love of God was so present. And the Lord told us that is Faith Christian Church. That vision wasn't about Kathy's and my house, but it was about this house, which is really our house. It's the Lord's house. It's our house together. This is our house. And the Lord said there are many, many people that he wants to bring to this house and rooms prepared and beautiful blankets on the beds. And so within a 24-hour period or less, the Lord gave these two people these two words concerning our church. And we do not want to ignore those words. So this morning, I want to share with you a message that has to do with what do we do about these words? How does God want us to respond to this? Are we just to, you know, say, well, praise the Lord, the will of the Lord be done? And if you haven't guessed already, it's probably a little more than that. So I'm going to share that with you this morning. Hosea chapter 10, verse 12. Sow for yourselves righteousness, reap steadfast love. Break up your fallow ground, for it's time to seek the Lord, so that he may come and rain righteousness upon you. One more time. Sow for yourselves. Your translation might say, sow to yourselves. Either one is appropriate. Sow to yourself righteousness, or sow for yourself righteousness. Reap steadfast love. Break up your fallow ground, because it's time to seek the Lord so that he may come and rain righteousness upon you. Hallelujah. We might have an alternate title. I had a working title for this message called Break Up Your Fallow Ground. But an alternate title might be How to Work with God to Fulfill the Word He's Spoken to You. How do you work with God to bring to pass a word He has spoken to you about His will, purpose, or something He wants to do in your life? He's certainly spoken to us as a church. So how do we work with Him to bring that to pass? First of all, concerning sowing. In our youth, we sow for ourselves, or we sow to ourselves, education and vocation or vocational training in order to prepare for the day when we will support a family. We don't just wait till the urge hits us, run out, grab a partner, and start making babies. That is, unless we plan to fail. But if we really plan to succeed at having a family, we put some preparation in. We get an education, we train in a vocation, we get ourselves set up in life to receive a blessed family. You can't have a blessed family by just running out and making babies. So in the same way, likewise, God works in your life through the process of sowing for your harvest, rather than waiting to see what comes. If you go through life just waiting to see what's going to come, even as a Christian, you might say, well, the Lord's in control, and we'll just wait to see what happens. And I've prayed, and I've just put it in the Lord's hands. It's like the guy that the pastor was talking to one of his members, said, I noticed that you never tithe. You don't really give anything. He says, well, he said, what I do, Pastor, is I cash my check every week, and on Saturday morning I go out into my backyard and I draw a big circle. And I take all my money and I just throw it up into the air. And whatever God wants, He can take. So the fact is, you can go through life like that, but God's not going to interact with you like that. If you just have the attitude that, well, whatever the Lord wants to happen, that's going to be what happens, you're going to be like one of those people who, when things happen in life, you're going to say, well, the Lord's will be done. And all kinds of crazy things happen in life, and God oftentimes is not the author of those things, and that was not His perfect will for those things to happen. So if you want God's will in your life, it comes through that process of sowing and reaping. Sowing and reaping. We remember in the New Testament, in Mark chapter 4, the parable of the sower, when Jesus said, you will never understand any of the parables I teach if you don't understand this parable. The parable of the sower is actually the key to understanding what I want to call the science of the kingdom. The kingdom of God has a science. And the principle of sowing and reaping is the science of the kingdom of God. And Jesus said the science of the kingdom of God works like this. The sower sows the word, and it falls on ground under different conditions. And most of those conditions don't yield a good result, because they fall among thorns, or they fall on rocky ground, or they fall by the wayside where the birds get it. But sometimes it falls on good ground, where the heart is open, it's been deliberately and intentionally cultivated, people think about what they hear, they, with their emotions and their will and desire, they engage that word, and it starts to bear fruit within them, because it takes root and it grows. So there's that cultivating process. So God works through the cultivating process, or the science of the kingdom, sowing and reaping. I say this because in our scripture, God opens up by saying, sow for yourself. Sow for yourself. So I want you to think, God uses those three words that are very powerful and can be very powerful in your life. They could be revolutionizing. Sow for yourself. What is it in life that you need to have happen? What obstacles need to be removed? What things need to come? And especially if God has spoken something concerning you, if there's a will that He's kind of laid out in front of you, even if it may be a little bit general or abstract, there's a certain knowing that you know this is the direction God wants to lead me in. God says, once you have a bit of a lock or an idea of what He wants, You need to sow to yourself in order to receive so that God can bring you into what he has for you. You need to sow to yourself. And so God says, sow for yourself. When God says to you, whether you're an individual, a family, a community, or a nation, families pray just like individuals pray. Communities can come into one accord and pray. Nations can have intercessors scattered throughout those nations that pray, and God will hear the intercessors of that nation. So when you pray and God says to you, as individuals, as communities, families, or nations, it's time to seek me. You're not coming to God and saying, oh Lord, I need help. God is saying to you, it's time to seek me so that I may come and rain righteousness upon you. You don't have to wonder if he intends to bless you. Oftentimes when we ask the Lord for things, we wonder, is it God's will for him to help me? Is it God's will for him to bless me? But when God says, it's time for you to seek me so that I can rain righteousness upon you, there's no doubt that he wants to bless you. It takes off the table any fear, apprehension, or doubt that God at this time has the intention of blessing you. And I also, because I'm a little bit of a stickler for words, especially when it comes to the Bible, God said through Hosea, it's time to seek me that I may come and rain righteousness upon you. Notice he didn't say that I might. There's no might about it. The word may, in a legal sense, speaks of God's intentionality. It removes all apprehension and all curiosity as to, well, is it as well, is it not as well? It's not God might, it's God may. And the may is determined by you seeking him. Amen. By you seeking him, that God will do what he may do. Praise the Lord. So God's word to FCC that I shared with you about, that came through those two sources, God said he wants to double our services in a year. And he said that we're a house prepared to accommodate many people that he wants to send to us. We do not have to wonder about his intentions. No. Let me make that perfectly clear. I just want to underscore it again. We don't have to guess or wonder if God's will is that a year from now we're running two services. That is God's will. Amen. We don't have to wonder if there's enough room in this ministry to accommodate an explosion of size. The Lord says, there's rooms, there's beds, there's blankets. He has said, it's time to seek me. This is my vision for you. Are you with me? Hallelujah. So we don't have to wonder if it's God's will, but what we do have to do is we have to know what time it is. When Jesus came into Jerusalem the final time, that last visit, when he was arrested and crucified, he stood on a hill overlooking the city and he wept. He said, I weep over you, Jerusalem, because you did not know the time of your visitation. We know the will, but we need to know the time. We need to know the time. And that's why the scripture says, it's the time. What's the time? Now.
Now.
It's the time. Now. To seek the Lord so that he can come and reign upon you. So God wants to come. Now he's with us. But when he says, I want to come, he means I want to come with all those people. I have a vision of Jesus coming through those doors, bringing all those people with him. Right? He's the shepherd of souls. Now he is going to come through those doors, bringing those people, because we've gone out and we've taken him to them. But he's the one who brings them in. He adds to his church daily, it says in the book of Acts, such as should be saved. So he wants to come leading that flock with him, and he wants to rain righteousness upon us. Righteousness means right standing with God. We know that when we are in right standing with God, conditions are a certain way. Bless the head and not the tail, above only, not beneath, continually in a state of victory. Trials come, troubles arise. challenges come at us, but we overcome. When you are walking in righteousness, there's indications of that righteousness. God makes the crooked paths straight. Just because a crooked path throws itself before you doesn't mean God's abandoned you. When you walk in righteousness, He gets you through that. You may have to wind and turn, go through trials, take a beating or two every now and then, but you rise up, you overcome. Amen? Okay, so you understand, the Lord says, this is the time to seek me so that I may come. It's a terrible, fatal mistake to say, well, the Lord has spoken it, that's His will, so I'm just going to sit here and wait for Him to do it. I want you to get a picture in your mind that when Jesus returns, when He comes back to the earth, called the second coming, the Bible says we rise to meet Him in the air. We rise to meet Him in the air. Throughout the Scriptures, both in the Old and New Testament, when God was coming, people would come out to meet Him. There was always this sort of thing that went on. God needs to be responded to. When He is coming at you, you get up and come at Him. Amen. Do you understand what I'm saying? You don't just sit and say, well, I'm going to wait and see if He comes all the way, and that way I'll really know that He wants. God is a God of relationship. I would not have married the wonderful blessing that I have as a wife if when I made advancements towards her, she always just backed up or stood where she was. If it was always me pursuing her, of course, truth be known, that it was the other way around. She pursued me, and I eventually came to my senses and I responded. And she's laughing, but if you ask her after church, she'll tell you she did chase me down. Not because I had to think about or evaluate her as a woman, just because I was dense. And that was why it took a while. She knew that. Thank God she had patience. But we did not decide to get married until both of us were pursuing each other. And I can tell you, having counseled with couples and watched a lot of couples get married, marriages are in trouble from the honeymoon forward when one is always the one pursuing the other. Never works. So we pursue, God pursues, we meet together. So when God says, I want to come and reign, we are to seek Him. We come after Him, praise the Lord. So we need to know that's what time this is. It's for us to get up and pursue or seek. Everyone say seek. Seek the Lord. Now let me give you just a little insight about seeking the Lord. That term's used all the time. Sometimes when your life has been not really where it should be, somebody might say to you, or your conscience might rise up and say to you, you need to seek the Lord. Everyone say, seek the Lord. But I wonder sometimes what's in our mind when we use the phrase seek the Lord. What do you think seeking the Lord is? I think a lot of times when we're not where we should be, but we want to be where we're supposed to be, we seek the Lord, and our idea of seeking the Lord is, I'm in trouble. I've done something wrong, or I'm trying to seek God. I'm trying to figure out what God wants. Seeking the Lord isn't wondering what God's up to. If you think seeking the Lord is wondering what God's up to, you are going to be the most frustrated seeker. The key to seeking the Lord is to lock on to what you know God has said. Amen. And begin to act on that. That is seeking the Lord. God doesn't want seeking the Lord to be ambiguous. He doesn't want it to be an exercise in confusion or an exercise in ignorance. But He wants it to be a response to what you do know. So when God says, it's time to seek me, in the very same sentence, He already tells you what it is He wants to do. I want to rain righteousness upon you. You're going to sow righteousness, and I'm going to cause you to receive steadfast love. So He's already given you the path on which you can seek Him. Lord, I come to You for that steadfast love. Lord, I come to You for that rain. Show me how to position myself to bring this to pass. So seeking the Lord isn't wondering what God's up to. It's planting and cultivating the seeds that He has given you. Amen. Plant and cultivate the seeds of the words and the dreams that God has spoken to you. That is how you seek the Lord. So many times, Christians, and including I've done this myself at times, have received from the Lord not just a seed, but a bag of seeds. And we sit them down and start whining, God, what are you doing? God, what do you want from me? It's like the old adage, it's like the old story of the flood. Think of Katrina and that, the terrible pictures of the people on their rooftops. And the guy's escaping the rising flood in his house, and he ends up on his roof. And a boat comes by. And a guy says, hey, buddy, you know, throw your stuff in here. Get in the boat. I'll save you. He said, no, I'm trusting God. God's going to save me. You know the story, right? Just before that, a four-wheel vehicle when the water wasn't quite that high. Come out of your house, man. I'll save you. No, I'm trusting God. Now he's on the roof, and a helicopter is above head. And they want to let down, you know, a rope by a winch, and they want to save him. He says, no, God's going to save me. And so the helicopter flies off. Next thing the guy knows, he wakes up and he's in heaven. And he's dead, he's died, and he's in heaven. And he said, Lord, what happened? I told everybody, I testified to everyone that you were going to save me. And the Lord said, I sent a 4x4, a boat, and a helicopter. You didn't want it. You wouldn't have any of it. He said, so you died. So oftentimes we are seeking the Lord and God has already given us the seed. Seeking the Lord isn't saying, God, I need something else. God explained this. It's working the seed. It's working the word that He has given you. Take that seed, take that word, and put your life to work cultivating that seed. And God will answer you. You probably do need more information. You probably do have more, but it's going to come out of that seed. Amen. It's not going to come because God's going to give you different seeds. Are you with me? Yeah. So he says, sow to yourself in righteousness, reap steadfast love, break up your fallow ground. Now let's talk a little bit about this sowing and reaping and come to the place where we talk a little about fallow ground. Just so that I can understand. Underscore the science of the kingdom, sowing and reaping. When I was a boy, I'd ask my dad for a new bike, and my dad would say, it's time to mow some yards. And you have to go to work to earn the money for that bike. And but my dad was like a lot of dads. He knew that in most of the things like that, big things I wanted, I didn't have enough money to get them. So he had this plan to supplement my income. Whatever my earnings were, my dad would supplement. In other words, you raise half the money, I'll meet it, so that when I put what I've got, my supplement, with you, what you've got, it'll be enough to get your bike, or it'll be enough to do what you want to do. So my dad would supplement my earnings to help me acquire what I wanted. That was very important to me growing up because I learned that sowing and reaping. I learned the principle of sowing and reaping. I can't make a bike, but I can receive a bike. Can I say to you that most everything that you receive in life, you don't manufacture, you don't make it, you don't create it, you receive it. So we receive by sowing. We sow, we receive. And I learned that that principle of sowing and reaping has what I would call a multiplication factor. My dad taught me I would sow and he would add to it and multiply it so that my sowing would produce enough to get what I wanted. So there's a multiplication factor involved with that sowing. I didn't have the capacity within myself to produce what I needed, but I could receive what I couldn't produce simply by sowing for it. So let me mention God's supplemental program. God has a wonderful supplementation program. When God says, it's time to seek me, so that I can come and rain righteousness upon you, start breaking up your fallow ground and sowing, because God intends to put His program of supplementation into operation through your obedience. And here's how it works. We heard through the prophet Zechariah last week in the message. We're going to go back to him this morning. In Zechariah chapter 10 and verse 1, the Bible says, "Ask the Lord for rain in the time or in the season of rain. For He makes the storm clouds, and He will send showers of rain, so every field becomes a lush pasture." Now, once again, we underscore the fact that even though God says it's time, it's my will to bless you, it's the time of rain, you don't just sit there and wait for the rain to start. You sow in the time of rain. So He says, ask me for the rain. If God says it's my will for you to have this, why would He want you to ask Him for it? But He does say, ask me. If Jesus said in His word, "Fear not, it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom," why does He then turn around and say, ask and don't stop asking, keep on asking? If God has already positioned Himself to take care of you and bless you, why doesn't that just automatically happen? Why do you have to keep asking? As I said, God comes towards you, you come towards Him. God is a God of relationship. Do you remember when the prodigal son decided, "I'm going to come home"? The father saw him way off in the distance, and the father came running out of his house and ran down the path to join his son and meet his son. In the relationship with God and His people, it's always that way. We're coming at Him, He's coming at us. So God says, in the season of rain, I've said it's the time to rain, ask me for that rain and I will make storm clouds. So when God says it's the season of rain, you know if you sow it, God will grow it. Amen. Let me say it again. If you sow it, God will grow it. Yes, let me explain to you how this works. God says it's springtime, it's the season of rain. Monsoon season is upon us. So He says, I want you to pray and ask me for the rain. Well, there's a reason for that. When we pray or when we seek the Lord, and I want to define what seeking the Lord means for us in a little more detail in a moment, but when we pray, we are sending up the living waters in the form of vapor that rises up to the Lord. And how many of you know where storm clouds come from? The Bible says God makes the storm clouds. Clouds that rain water down, where did they get that water? They got that water from beneath. Amen. When you and I are praying and interceding, we are seeding those clouds that God's going to use to pour the blessing out on us. Amen. Just like my dad said, it's time to go mow some yards. You mow the yards, when it's time, I'll get ready. I'll join up with you financially. We'll make this happen together. So God has a supplemental program. He wants to join up with you and sow on you an abundant outpouring of righteousness. But you have to seek Him. And it's out of your seeking Him that He turns around and blesses you. When Jesus fed the 5,000, where did He didn't say, watch this, and whip out of thin air. Jesus didn't stand before the disciples. Remember when they said, well, here's some fish and some loaves? What would the lesson have been when they said, we don't have enough food out here. We got 5,000 men and then their families. What if Jesus said, which hand? Left or right? And did some magic trick and produce fish. No. He said, what have you got? Well, we've got two loaves, we've got some two fish, and we've got five loaves. Bring them to me. They put them in his hands. That's when the magic happened. Hallelujah. He multiplied what they gave to him. So when we seek the Lord, when we pursue and cultivate the word He has spoken to us, that's when the multiplying supplemental factor, God's supplementation program, begins to take place, and He is preparing that rain cloud so that when it rains right on your fields. So, when God says it's the season of the rain, you know if you sow it, He'll grow it, so prepare every field. Here's where the fallow ground message comes in. In Jeremiah 4:3, it says, "For thus says the Lord, break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns." From the parable of the sower, you remember what happens when you sow among thorns. When you sow among thorns, that seed will take root and begin to grow, but the thorns will choke out that word and it becomes unfruitful. How many of you know what fallow ground is? Fallow ground is when a farmer's field lies dormant or fallow for a season or so, and they let the ground rest and the nutrients, the rain for a year or two continues to pour into the ground and the nutrients become resupplied, and they give the ground rest and they let it rest and it becomes potent again, able to support crops. So ground is deliberately left fallow. How many of you have worked yourself silly and said, "I need a vacation"? Does anybody here this morning need a vacation? And you know, sometimes when you get to the point, you've just been picked over, the nutrients been sucked out of you, you need to just go somewhere and do nothing. You need to not have the work calling you, and you need to have that break, right? What happens? You get a little replenished, and after a week or two vacation, you go back. You've been fallow for a couple weeks or dormant. You go back, you're charged up, your energy, your focus, you're ready to go and be productive again. Well, it's the same principle. It just has to do with agriculture. That's what fallow ground is. So when a field is lying fallow is when it's at its ugliest state. We love to lie fallow, but it's when it's the ugliest part of our life. When a field lies fallow, it gets hard and it gets crusted over, and weeds and unattractive plants grow, and they don't grow in nice little rows that are orderly. They just grow wherever they want to. If you drive by fallow fields, they're not attractive. If you're used to, many times, and I'm sure you've done the same thing, you've lived near farms, and seasonally when those rows have been in the springtime furrowed, they're beautiful, and all that fresh, soft soil, all in nice lines, orderly. Then, you know, several months down the road, here's those crops rising up. But when it's fallow, it's just unattractive. And our lives are the same way. When areas of your life are not in service for God, the weeds just take over. There's no order. Your time, your schedule, whatever you're thinking of your life as, it doesn't have that order and attractiveness to it. But sometimes our life has to go fallow just to have a rest and a respite. And God knows that. So notice that the Lord is not criticizing fallow ground. He's not saying, "How come those fields are fallow? How come you're not?" Because if you're just constantly going, 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 you burn out. And you can burn out the soil. So God says it's time. It is time to multiply. It's time for those people to come in. You don't need more time to be fallow. It's time to break up that fallow ground. It's time to break that ground open and carve out those rows and sow that seed. So God is saying to us, it's time, and I intend to bring forth rain. And he actually said, within a year, this is what I want you to look like. We are not going to get there if we here in these fields don't break up the ground, amen, plow the rows, and prepare to receive that rain. So in your life and my life, this gets practical at this point. For us, preparing means to take every area of your life where sharing the gospel of Jesus with others and preparing to receive them into the house. Let me say, those are the two things God is saying. I want the gospel shared with the unsaved, and I want people invited into those rooms. Bring them in. And there was lovely worship music in the atmosphere. Whatever area of your life is currently not employed towards the end that purpose is, God says, break up that fallow ground and get it busy in what I'm calling you to do. That's what it's going to take for a church to receive what God is saying, is that every one of us need to be on deck, and every one of us need to go and prepare our fallowed, hard ground. Meaning that, think of the areas of your life, in your activity, in your thought life, where you presently never think about witnessing for Jesus or sharing the gospel with others. It just doesn't cross your mind. It's a thought, it's a part of your life that never enters into that part of your life. We do tend to live compartmentally. It might be when you go to work that when you go to work, you leave the kingdom of God outside because you're like, I'm having to do my time in the kingdom of darkness. I can't really share the Lord on my job. You could be open to sharing the Lord. You can have it on your mind. You can pray and intercede. You know, there's always ways that you can be prepared to receive people into the kingdom of God. Prepare to be an instrument to bring people to Jesus. The Lord is saying, get ready. I'm going to pour out the rain. If you really believe that, you will break up every piece of fallow ground in your life. If the Lord said, I'm going to pour out liquid gold, you'd go get every empty pot you had in your house, every single one of them. Even if you had pots with beautiful plants in them, you'd throw those plants out, empty them and bring them and put them there. That's breaking up the fallow ground. So what I'd want you to do this morning in response to this is to understand that our praying and interceding for the lost to get saved and our preparing to be a witness. Think about people that you know that you haven't shared Jesus with. Think about people that you circulate among that you've never considered being open to letting them know that Jesus loves them. And think about people that you've never invited to church. If he wants to bring them through these doors, what are you doing to get them here? Those are fallow ground areas of your life. God wants you to all of a sudden break that fallow ground up where you're thinking, I'm open and willing. Lord, how can I bring people in? And if you do that, then that is what Zephaniah 10:1 says. You are seeding those clouds that the Lord wants to rain back on you. In Hosea 10:12, our scripture, that's sowing for yourself in righteousness. If God wants to bless you, then that is how you will sow for yourself so that God can bring that blessing of multiplication. When the body starts multiplying, every one of us are blessed. It boosts, blesses, and lifts up the entire body. Hallelujah, when the family starts multiplying. Close your Bible, stand with me this morning. Here's our altar call is going to be specific this morning. And I'm going to give you an opportunity to step forward to be included in this prayer, but I want to make sure that I'm very clear about what our prayer is going to be concerning. Every one of us have fallow ground in our life. Every one of us have areas of our life that are presently not engaged in witnessing for Jesus or sharing the gospel. It could be in our intentionality. It could be in your thought life. In other words, you might be the kind of person that you may go long stretches of time before it ever occurs to you to share Jesus with somebody. And yet you might pass up tons of opportunities. You just don't take them. You might want to say, I want to break up that fallow ground by saying, Lord, help me to be aware of the opportunities. Just put it on my heart. Help me to not miss these opportunities. Help me to be aware. Doesn't mean you have to go jump on everybody you run into and tell them about Jesus, but you should be ready. You should be inclined and open and thinking, I'm going to share Jesus with people. I want to share church with people. I want to encourage them because he wants to bring people in. The devil wants nothing more than for you to lead someone to Jesus and they get left out there where he could just gobble them up. He wants them in the body. He wants people in fellowship, in the body of Christ. I don't understand Christians that want to lead people to Jesus and then leave them out there. That to me is like somebody who's a drug addict and gives birth to a baby and leaves them in a dumpster. So we want to bring them into the family. So that's fallow ground that we want to be open to the Lord. Lord, help me break up this fallow ground. I'm willing. As you leave today, we got a whole bunch of these back there, just a little Faith Christian Church flyer, that you could put these in somebody's hand. Keep them in your car. Take them with you. When you go to a restaurant, you're going to put your, if someone's going to pay the bill. You just put that little bill money right in this thing. Begin to say, you know what? God is coming to rain upon us. I need to break up the fallow ground. There needs to be ground that's broken up with seed so that when that rain comes, it's going to do something. There's something for the Lord to respond to. It's time to mow some yards. Can you say amen?
Amen.
All right, here's our altar call this morning. If you're here this morning, you've heard this message, and you think, all right, there's at least one piece of fallow ground somewhere in my life that I would like to deliberately bring and present to the Lord and say, Lord, help me to open up this ground so that it's not fallow. Help me, Lord, to break up this fallow ground. I come to you today to make this available to you. And that's your heart today. You've got one, at least one in mind, area that you could change and break up that ground. I want you to come down to the front. Praise the Lord. See, they're coming even without music. It's amazing. Church people don't move without music. Feet don't work. There we go. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Of course. Lots of folks. If you guys here, just bunch up because there's others coming. Make a little bit of room. We're not laying hands on anybody this morning. We're going to come together and pray together and ask the Lord to move upon us in that specific area that you have in your mind. You and the Father know what it is. And I believe God said, call to me, I will answer. He hears you. He knows where your heart is. He knows what you're saying, that you're putting this, and expect him to move in this area and to help you break up this fallow ground. Shall we pray? Lord Jesus, you have said it's time, it's season for the rain. I come to you right now to seek you by taking that word and pursuing and to break up our fallow ground and prepare. Lord, here is this area in my life, in my thoughts, in my schedule, in my behavior, in my patterns. Lord, here's this area of fallow ground. Let's pray this together. Father, in Jesus' name, I bring my fallow ground before you. Help me now. Break it open. Make it tender and available for sowing. May you move upon me, so that the fulfillment of what you have said concerning us, our growth, our multiplication may come. Thank you, Lord, for giving me the privilege of working with you in Jesus' name. Amen.